This is Dan's Mega 65 Digest for July 2024. Let's paint. I feel like painting today. Let's paint. But first... My talk at Pacific Commodore Expo Northwest is online. My talk about the Mega 65 at the Pacific Commodore Expo Northwest 2024, Lessons from My First 2 Years with the Mega 65, is now on YouTube. My thanks to Robert Bernardo for producing the event, to Stephen Jones and SDF.org for sponsoring, and to everyone who attended. We had 3 Mega 65s on the floor this year, including a live unboxing of a freshly delivered unit. Mega 65 at the Vintage Computer Festival Midwest. I'm working up plans to be at the Vintage Computer Festival Midwest, September 7th to 8th, 2024, at the Schaumburg Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois, near Chicago. This large show attracts enthusiasts from all over the United States and Canada, and is a regular pilgrimage for collectors, computer clubs, YouTubers, and makers of modern retro computers and peripherals. Admission is free. This year, I'll be collaborating with Jim Happel, Jim64, on Discord, on a Mega 65 table. I've also applied for a speaking slot to deliver a revised version of the talk I gave last month, though those won't be announced until next month, so fingers crossed. Mega 65 at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. My Mega 65 and I will be at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo September 27th to 29th, 2024, in Portland, Oregon. PRGE is one of the largest vintage video gaming shows in the Pacific Northwest, and this year they're doing a home computing exhibition. Come for the interactive volunteer-run computer exhibits, then stay for the weekend of talks, playable arcade games, and the vendor floor. I'm not doing a talk at this one, but I'll have my own table in the home computing area. PRGE is a ticketed event at the Oregon Convention Center. If you're visiting from out of town, get your hotel rooms reserved early, and make sure to leave time to explore Portland. C64 Core version 5.1 released. The C64 Core for the Mega 65, one of the best things you can do for your favorite computer, has a new update. Version 5.1 adds support for the R6 mainboard, the board in all Mega 65s being delivered this year, and can take advantage of the R6 board's bidirectional expansion port lines for Kung Fu Flash, Messiah, and Freezer cartridge support. This update also includes improvements for all mainboards, including the ability to share the Mega 65's real-time clock with GEOS, using an appropriate driver. Don't forget that the Mega 65 has a new feature that can select the C64 core automatically when a C64 cartridge is installed. If your Mega 65 was delivered this year, your firmware is already up to date with this feature. If you have an older Mega 65, you can update to the version 0.96 release in slot 0 to get this feature. See the User's Guide 2nd Edition for upgrade instructions. See the C64 core release notes for details on all of the changes. Retrocombs Mega 65 Video User's Guide. Retrocombs is producing a video series based on the Mega 65 User's Guide 2nd Edition. Stephen is going chapter by chapter, reviewing the material and presenting it in an entertaining and easy to understand fashion. It's the perfect video companion to the guide and a useful resource in its own right, with additional tips not mentioned in the book. Stephen just released the video for Chapter 4 and intends to complete the series for the entire book. Subscribe to Retrocombs to make sure you don't miss a video.
Okay. I'll turn on my Mega 65. There we go. All right, so I need a canvas to paint on. something 320 pixels by 200 pixels is fine, you know, 320 wide, 200 tall, standard Commodore 64 style resolution. And I'm going to stick to with the 32 built-in colors for now, so a bit depth of 5 is going to be plenty. That's 5 binary bits can express up to 32 values. 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 is 32. Also use screen number 0. You can have numbered screens. So to start the screen, I'm going to say screen 0 for screen number, 320 wide, 200 tall, bit depth of 5. Yeah, that's fine. I can't see what I'm typing now because the text is behind the painting, but I can hold run stop and tap restore, and I get back to the text screen. It's a blank canvas. Blank canvases are intimidating. Whenever I buy a new notebook, I always scribble nonsense on the first page, so I'm not afraid to make mistakes on the other pages. I'll take a swipe with some white paint here, color number 1. So I'll switch to pen 1 for white, and I'll draw a line from 2030 to 300/180. The 32 colors of the built-in palette are listed in the Mega 65 User's Guide 2nd Edition, Appendix E. The first 16 of these colors are also written on the fronts of the number keys, if you can see that, on the keyboard from 1 to 8 there, in two rows. Colors 0 through 7 are the top row, from black to yellow, that's blick to yill. And colors 8 through 15 are the bottom row, that's orange to light gray. I need to switch back to the canvas to see my white line that I just drew. So I'm going to use the command screen set, which will allow me to specify which screen by number am I looking at and which one am I drawing on. And I just want those to be the same for now. So I will say screen set 00, and there it is. And I can save this. Let's see here. Desave, I'll just call it line. There you go. And I'll run it to see my beautiful picture of a white line across a screen. And once again, I can say run stop restore to get back to text mode, and I can make changes to the program. I can change the color, for example, and then run the program again, and I've got a completely different picture. If I wanted to give this program to someone else, they might enjoy being able to exit back to text mode by pressing a key. A simple way to do that is to use the get key command to wait for a key press, then screen close 0 to switch back to text. So what I can do here is I can do line 9998, get key a dollar sign, and 9999, screen close 0. Now when I run my program, I see my picture on the screen, and I can just press any key at all, and the program is over, and I get back to my text screen. In addition to lines, BASIC has commands for drawing dots, drawing shapes of several kinds, both filled and unfilled. I'm just messing around changing the numbers to see how they change the picture, so I can try a few of these. Let's see here. Change my color, and I'll do a dot, maybe a couple of dots. Let's see. What does that look like? Yeah, I see that. How about a different color? I'll draw a box. Let's take coordinates of the top left and bottom right. And I can also tell it to fill by having an extra argument there. You can see all this in the user's guide. Just look up the box command in the appendix there. Now let me look at that. And I've got my boxes now. Got circles, ellipses, polygons. Let's try a circle. Whoops. There we go. Circle gets the coordinates of the center and a radius. And same thing with circle. You can get a filled circle by adding a comma 1 at the end of the command. And sure enough, there it is. The user's guide has more information on how these commands work, including some interesting additional features I won't talk about or use right now. Maybe I can explore those later. So that's cool. I mean, I've got a program here that's got a bunch of numbers in it that I've just typed in, kind of experimented to figure out where these things are drawing things just by plugging in some numbers, trying them out, changing the colors with the pen color. But in a computer program, whenever there's a number in a computer program, there could also be some computation that produces a number. This can turn math formulas or variables and flow control structures into their own kind of computational paintbrush, which I want to try. So let's see. If I want to draw like a grid pattern with regularly spaced lines, like I could figure out what the numbers are, the starting and ending coordinates of all the lines are going to be. But instead of writing out all the coordinates for each line, I'll just have the Mega 65 figure it out for me. So new program. Let's see. I like that black border, and we'll do the same screen size, and we'll do white, and I'll use a for loop, and I'll just draw all the way across the screen. So I've got an X variable, I just say 4X equals 0 to 319, that represents the entire width of the screen. And the for command has a step feature, so instead of going 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, I can have it go 0, 20, 40, 60, 80 just by saying step 20. So my full command has step 20 at the end of it. And now, instead of a number for the x coordinate, I can just use the x variable. So line x, 0, x, 119 will draw a line going from the top of the screen to the bottom of the screen at each of those x coordinates that the for loop is going to come up with. And let's get some grid lines going the other way. Same idea. For y equals 0 to 119, step 20. And I'll do a line 0, y, 319, y. I'll say next y. That's how you close a for loop, is with the next command. Let's just try that. And there it is. I've got a nice white grid on a black background. Run, stop, restore gets me back out of that. I can tell the computer how to calculate a number, or I can just let the computer pick a number at random. The computer can use its own imagination to paint a picture in accordance with my instructions. Obviously, actually, computers don't have imaginations, and random numbers aren't even really random, but whatever. It's just imagine it's fun. So, try this again. Let's see. You've got the screen. Why don't we use a random color? So I'll say pen, and then the random function, RND, parentheses, one, close parentheses. The one's a little bit weird. I won't bother to explain the difference, but what this is going to do is come up with a random number between 0 and 1. What I want is a random number between 0 and 31, and so I'm just going to take this fractional value and multiply it by 32. You'll see in some Commodore books that they will recommend rounding down the result with the int function, so usually it's int, open parentheses, RND, open parentheses, 1, close parentheses, times whatever the top of your range is, in this case 32, close parentheses. I don't actually have to do this here because the graphics commands know if you're giving them a fractional value, it'll just round down automatically. So I'm just going to say pen round 1 times 32. For the line command, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to, just random coordinates. I want random everything. So for the x coordinates, it'll be a random number times 320, and the y coordinates is a random number times 200. I'll do that again for the closing coordinate. And let's just say 40, go to 20. I want this to do as many of these as it can come up with. There. Run, stop, restore. Okay. Basic 65 has some mathematical functions that can help painting interesting pictures if I can remember enough geometry. So there's like cosine or sine, various things like that. Let me just do a quick experiment here. I'll keep most of this. Let's get rid of my random lines, but I will do a quick thing here. I will say, come up with like a random radius of something and a random center. I could do just a circle command and put a bunch of randomly sized and colored circles on the screen. But I've got a better idea. I'm going to have a for loop. I'm going to have for a equals 0 to 2 pi. And I'm going to step through that in increments of 2 pi divided by 30. So I'm typing this as 2 pi, as you may know, is the angular distance around a circle. And the way I'm typing that is the number 2, an asterisk for multiply, and shift up arrow gets you the pi symbol. And this actually represents the mathematical constant pi in BASIC. It's the circumference of the circle divided by its diameter. So you have a way of measuring angles. And so I've got the full sweep of an entire circle is 2 pi, and I'm stepping through all of that at increments of 1/30th of a circle, so 2 pi over 30. So now I've got an angle. The for loop is generating an angle for me. And I'm going to use my center. I'm going to draw a line from the center to that center plus the cosine of A. That's COS, parentheses A, close parentheses, times R for my radius. And then I'm also going to have at the end of the lines, y-coordinate is the center, y-coordinate, and sine of A, that's S-I-N, parentheses A, close parentheses, times R, the radius. And I'll do that for all the angular steps. And I've also got a loop here. Let's do 5 of these. So I've got something that's going to pick a random coordinate and a random color, and it's going to draw lines that sort of splay out from the center of each of those things to a random radius. And there it is. Little pretty little flowers. Nice. I keep my Mega 65 here on my desk, and sometimes I use it just as a simple calculator. I can just type a question mark and enter an arithmetic expression that I want to know the answer to. So if I want to know the cosine of, pi over 2, I can just type that in and I get an answer. I guess that's not a very interesting example because that's 0, but you know what I mean. How about sine of pi over 4? Ah, it's interesting. I could just type these things in. What if I could make this into a graphing calculator? Like, how quickly can I do that? Given I've got, some drawing capabilities and so forth. I'll use the first few lines. It's just a new program. I want to use the first few lines to enter the parameters of the graphing calculator. I'm going to define a function. This is actually a really cool feature of BASIC that goes back decades, where you can define a mathematical function, a single variable function, and reuse that function like any other function in your BASIC program. So if I do def space fn space y parentheses x close parentheses, that's defining a function named y that takes a parameter x, and then that's equal to, and I can just have a mathematical expression here, sine x times 9, I guess, plus 1.5. I'm going to also set some range and domain parameters. So let's see, the lower x, say xl, negative 3, and xh is positive 3, and yl is negative 1, and yh is 4. So I've got a domain and range for my graph. I need a subroutine that's going to convert the coordinates of a math graph to screen coordinates. Things are a little bit different, right? What I want here is for the math graph to go from negative 3 on the left to positive 3 on the right, and negative 1 on the bottom to positive 4 on the top. That, of course, is not how screen coordinates work for in a drawing graphic, so I need some way of converting between math coordinates and screen coordinates. So I'll do a subroutine. On line 1000, the full thing here, I'm going to just use variables as input. So the way this will work is it'll assume that certain variables are set to the input parameters. I want to be able to reuse this for both x and y coordinates, so it's just going to be general here. I'm going to have an input value of v, and it's going to return, it's going to set the variable c to the result, the screen coordinate. Within a range of L to H, and it's going to have a scaling factor of SC. And I'll maybe do an example once I've got this working here. But the simple equation here is I'm going to have a ratio of the distance between the value and the lower part of the range, and the full distance between the high part of the range and the low part of the range. So that's V minus L divided by H minus L. That gives you a ratio of where the value is going to be between those two points. And then I'm going to scale that by times SC. And so you can imagine for an X coordinate, if SC is 320, and I've got my L and my H set to my XL and my XH, and then an X coordinate in variable V, this will coordinate the screen coordinate C for wherever that position is. Just to catch a couple of edge cases here, I'm going to double check that my C is not outside of the range, which is of the screen coordinate, which I'm just going to assume is the SC variable. So if it goes outside of the range, I'm going to limit it to the boundary. So if C is greater than SC, then I'll just say C is SC. And if C is less than SC, or I'm sorry, less than zero, then C equals zero. And I will return. Okay. So I'm going to do that every time I need a coordinate. I'm going to use it for every such conversion. Importantly, I need to invert the vertical coordinate that comes back from this, because math graphs go up as Y values increase, but screen coordinates go down. The way I'm just going to do that is whenever I'm doing a Y conversion, I'm going to take the result out of C, and I'm going to just say, 199 minus C is going to give me the actual Y coordinate. So otherwise, everything will be flipped upside down. I want to draw some axes for my graph, just so I know where it is. If the x-axis is a horizontal line positioned at math coordinate y equals 0, the y-axis is a vertical line where x equals 0. So the conversion subroutine is going to convert these zeros to screen coordinates within the given domain and range. To keep this simple, I only draw an axis if the zero is within the range and domain. So I don't bother with tick marks or anything like that. It's just going to draw it if it's there and leave it off if it's not. I'm going to use the char command to print the range and domain values close to the zero axis lines, just so we know what the screen represents for the domain and range. To draw the function itself, I need to calculate a starting point based on its value for the leftmost point on the screen. So the XL is going to be my math coordinate for the leftmost point of the screen. And I can just calculate the starting point as FN space Y parentheses XL close parentheses. That's how you call your custom function. You have to use the FN part of the name. And I'm just going to loop over 160 evenly spaced points between XL and XH. Very similar to what I've already done with like going around the circle or any of these other things. I'm just going to take the distance of that range and divide it up into an even number of spots. In this case, 160 going all the way across the screen. For each iteration, I draw a line from the previous point to the next, keeping track of the screen coordinates from the previous iteration in variables. And let's see. I can just do some things here. So I'm going to draw an axis. I want to be in this color. And convert my 0 to that. And I'll just copy these lines here because we're going to do similar things. And there's my line, and I can try that, and so that gets the axes on the screen. And now to draw the actual function, I'm going to need some variables. To remember the old X and Y screen coordinates, I'm just going to remember the screen coordinates, and let's see, I'll copy these here, and let's see, I'll use yellow for the graph. And for each possible x, I'm going to use y of x, fn y of x to calculate the y. And I'll run those through these conversions. And I will draw a line from the previous point, previous X, previous Y to the new X, comma, new Y. And let's see how that goes. Yeah, okay. That worked pretty well, actually. I mean, real graphing calculators are pretty sophisticated for this kind of thing. They need to be to produce something useful under all circumstances if you're using a graphing calculator for something important. For example, I just allow a graph that goes off the top or bottom of the screen to squash up against the edge. That sort of range limiting that I did in the subroutine is just going, if something goes off the top, it's just going to hit the top and then stick there. Which isn't necessarily what you want. I've actually seen graphing calculators do that. Maybe they're not all sophisticated, but in this case, the line command, even though it doesn't mind receiving fractional coordinates, it will complain if I give it values outside of the screen range. So I would have to do some additional calculations to figure out where the graph crosses the edge and stuff like that. But I'm painting here, not building something useful. So anyway, I did get an interesting result here. I'm pretty sure everything is about the same. My sine graphs have a bit of a cowlick in some spots for some reason. I'm guessing this is hitting up against the range limits of Basic 65 floating point numbers. So, I don't know, math is hard. Let's just move on. Let's save my program. There you go. All right. So that's fun to sort of paint with code like that, but this computer can do more than use hand-entered numbers or numbers derived from math and randomness. I can also write a program that changes numbers interactively based on keys I press on the keyboard. New program, let's see, screen zero, same deal, set up the screen the same way. I'm gonna have my the coordinates of where I'm currently drawing in X and Y variables. I'll set those each to 100 to start. Get white colored paint, and I'll have line 40. We'll just draw a dot at a coordinate x, comma y. Line 50, I will get key. Remember, get key. We will wait for a key press and then load it into the $ variable. This time we're actually going to use the result. So I'm going to look at my Petsky codes in the back of the book here. There are Petsky codes for each of the cursor keys. I see down, the cursor down is 17, cursor right is 29, and cursor up is 145, and cursor left is 157. So I can do if $ equals CHR dollar sign bracket 17 close bracket. And I'm going to use this opportunity to also make sure my dot doesn't leave the screen because it'll complain if I try to give it a bad coordinate here. So I'll say if I'm going upward, what did I say that was? No, downward. Let's start with down. So character 17 and y is less than 199, then y equals y plus 1. So I'm going down the screen by one pixel only if I'm pressing down and it's not at the bottom of the screen. So that will restrict everything. I'll just make a few copies of this line because I want to do all four directions, and then I'll go back and adjust my copy. So instead of 17, I'll go 29, which is rightward. And x is less than 319, then x equals x plus 1. If I'm at character 145 and y is greater than 0, because I'm going up, then y equals y minus 1. And lastly, if I'm character 157 and x is greater than 0, then x equals x plus 1. And this is a loop. I want it to sit there and wait for me to enter input, so I'm just going to say 100, go to 40. Cool. Okay, there's a dot on the screen. And yeah, if I go right, it goes right. If I go up, I go left. Oh, I've got a typo. Oof. That's embarrassing. But it's mostly working. I will fix my typo. One second. Yeah, I forgot to go x equals x minus 1. That's the thing of the copying the lines. You have to remember you've made every change. Let's try this again. Left, up, right, down, there we go. Okay, good. Nice thing about doing an interactive program like this is that BASIC will automatically switch back to text mode whenever there's an error or an interruption. So I just have to hit run stop, the program stops, and I get back to text mode immediately. This is very similar to the robot finds kitten experiment we did from a while back. The program maintains a cursor position, it waits for a key press, and after it confirms the cursor position won't leave the screen, it changes the cursor position, and it leaves a little trail, kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch. You know, you're not ever leaving the... there's no way to turn it off as you're drawing. I want to try making this controllable with a joystick. So that's actually really easy to do. I only have to make a couple of changes to the existing program. I'm going to change a couple of things here. I am going to, instead of get key, I'm going to just read the joystick value. So J equals the joy function, and that's bracket 2 bracket for port 2. There are two joystick ports. I'm going to use port 2 for this. So J equals joy bracket 2 close bracket. And the dot command is the same, but now these ranges are going to be a little different. Instead of reading a dollar sign, I'm going to read the joystick value. The J value comes back as a number between 1 and 8, depending on the 8 directions, both up, down, left, right, and by diagonals. And those are in the user's guide again, under joy for joystick. There it is. Page 171 in my book, and actually page 172 has a little table at the top showing me that up is 1, J equals 1. So yeah, so the way I did this, I'm going to need J equals 5 for down, J equals 3 for right, J equals 1 for up, and J equals 7 for left. And everything else about the program is the same. So I got a little joystick on my connected to port 2, and whoa, okay. Totally works. It was going very fast though. Let's fix that real quick. I'm gonna add a sleep statement in here, just in my loop here. I'm gonna sleep for 0.01 seconds between updates just to slow this down a little bit. Let's try that again. There we go. That's a lot easier to control. I can go up, down, left, right with my little joystick. Okay, good. I noticed this only supports 4 directions of movement because I've only tested for 4 directions, the same what I was doing with the cursor keys. And it actually feels like it sticks a little bit when I accidentally press the joystick in a diagonal direction. But that's because Joy is trying to return different values for those diagonals that I'm not testing for. So I've got a way to take care of that. That is actually quite nice because I can use all of the possibilities to increment or decrement the y and x coordinates, and it'll just all work. So my first condition is I am going down the screen if any of the downward directions are selected. So I'm going to use parentheses and say if j equals 4 or j equals 5 or j equals 6, and then close parentheses, and y is less than 199, then y equals y plus 1. And I can do this throughout this whole thing for all of it. So let's see, j equals 2, or j equals 3, or j equals 4, and x is less than 399, j equals 8, or I'm just looking at the table here, j equals 1, or j equals 2, and y is greater than 0, j equals 8, or j equals 7, or j equals 6, and x is greater than 0. And no other changes. And now I can draw diagonal lines. I can just sort of wiggle the joystick around in any direction, and the dot will go left, right, up, down, and also diagonally. Excellent. It would be nice if I had more control over the paintbrush behavior. Instead of like an Etch-a-Sketch, I want it to be more like a painting program. So maybe it doesn't draw unless I'm pressing the button. I'm going to try that real quick Let me move. I'm going to change the position of the joy line and the dot line. So I'm testing the joystick before I draw the dot. And I don't think it matters that much, to be honest, but it's easier to read this way. And instead of always drawing the dot, I'm going to say if J and 128, then draw the dot. And also, in addition to drawing the dot, set J equals J and 127. This requires a little bit of explanation, but basically what Joy is doing is whenever the button is pressed, it is adding the number 128 to the value that may also have the joystick direction in it. So I want to test whether the 128 is part of the number, and so I'm using bitwise AND to test whether that bit is set. 128 is a single binary bit on the thing. So I can say J and 128 will be 128 if the button is pressed or 0 if it's not, even if I'm holding down a direction button. And then I'm also, if it is pressed, then I want to get rid of the 128 so that all that is left is the joystick direction. And so I'm doing that with bitwise math also. J equals J and 127 means give me all of the bits except for that high bit that indicates the button is pressed. And no other changes, that should work. So I don't have a dot on the screen right now, but I can press the button and there goes my dot. And I can push the thing around, I hold down the button and I draw like before. If I get rid of the button, I guess I'm moving it around, and then I can press the button again, and yeah, it's drawing in a new space. So it is moving the position of where it will draw when I'm not pressing the button, but I'm still moving the joystick around. So that works. But I can't see what I'm doing is the problem here. So it would be nice if there was some kind of indicator on the screen as to where the dot is, even when it's not drawing. And so I can see where, you know, it's like a real drawing program. There's something on the screen that shows me what that is. And on Commodores, that's what sprites are for. Sprites are really good at this because I don't actually want to draw something onto the screen to indicate the thing, because that'll mess up my program. So what I want is something that'll be on top of the screen. And sprites are really good at that. It's a built-in feature of the video chip. So yeah, we covered sprites in a previous issue that's you can go back and look at that. I'm just going to use the built-in arrow sprite for now. There's like a little arrow cursor sprite that comes with the Mega 65. So that is in sprite 0 by default. So I'm going to just enable sprite 0 using the sprite command. And then as part of my loop, I'm just going to move the sprite to where the X coordinate is. I'm going to do something special here. You might remember from the previous issue that sprite coordinates are different from screen coordinates. The sprite coordinates actually start outside, kind of in the border of the screen. That allows you to move the sprite off the screen if you want to. It's obscured by the border. And so in order to convert a sprite coordinate to a screen coordinate, I have to say X plus 24 and Y plus 50. I'm sorry, that's a screen coordinate to a sprite coordinate. So the screen coordinate needs to be added 24 to the X and 50 to the Y to make for a sprite coordinate. But that's all I need to do. If I run now, I've got an arrow on the screen, and the arrow moves around as I move the joystick. And it's not drawing anything, but now when I press the button, the mouse pointer is drawing for me. It's drawing a line right behind it. That's pretty good. Looks like there might be a bug in sprite coordinates over bit plane. Yeah, there's a little bit of a bug here. Okay, I'll file that. If you notice, if you like run the sprite all the way to the top, it actually is not quite, it actually goes over the top of the border just by like one pixel. It's not supposed to do that, and it doesn't normally do that when you're in text mode. This is only in the bitplane graphics mode. Same if you're like all the way to the left, it doesn't quite make it to the left. And just to try it out, yeah, if you go over to the right, it actually overlaps the right border by one pixel. We need to fix that in the video chip, but that's the nice thing about having a chipset that we can update, is that we can fix bugs like that. So anyway. Yeah. Well, this arrow cursor reminds me, we could use the mouse for this also, like a more modern graphics program. Let's maybe try that. That'll actually simplify the program quite a bit. Because right now I'm doing all the range checking myself, but if I just use the mouse coordinates, the kernel itself is going to maintain the mouse coordinates so that they stay on the screen. So I just need to read the mouse position and then draw a dot wherever the mouse is, and I don't even have to keep track of it myself. I could even do this as a whole new program. It's only a few lines. Let's do a new program. Open the screen. Turn the mouse on. That's just the mouse on command, and I want to use port 1 for my mouse. I'll use a white color. And in this case, I'm going to read the mouse position and its button state with the R mouse command, and it just loads it into whatever variables I tell it to use. I'll tell it to use X, Y, and B for the button. And if B is set, then draw a dot. And here, our mouse is giving me the sprite coordinate, and I need to convert it back to a screen coordinate. So I'm going to go X minus 24, Y minus 50, and then I'll loop back to line 40. And that is it, I think, usually. Let's see here. Mouse moves with, or the cursor moves with the mouse, and I click the mouse button, and it draws little mouse pellets all over the screen. That's what I told it to do. The dots are a little spread apart, though. I wonder if I can combine this with the technique that I was using with the graphing calculator. And then I'll to get a smoother line. So that thing where I was remembering the previous position should allow me to get like a smooth line out of it. Let's try that. So keep those lines, and I will remember. Yeah, I want to do something too where it does not draw if the button is not pressed. And so I need to remember when was the last time I pressed the button. I don't want to remember I don't want it to connect every line. And maybe I do. That could be fun too. But in this case, I want there to be a state where I'll just say if the X coordinate is -1, that means don't try to connect the lines, and then it'll remember it from there. Let's just figure it out. So same deal. With our mouse, if a button is not pressed, then I want my previous X to be -1, and that's all I need to do. But if the button is pressed, then I want to do a few things. I'm going to convert to the screen coordinate. So that's -24 for X and -50 for Y. And if the previous X is not -1, if it is -1, then just keep going. But if it's not -1, that means the button was held down and I want to draw a line. So I'm going to draw a line from the previous X to the previous Y and to the current X and the current Y. And then I want to update the previous X to be the current X, previous Y to be the current Y, and I will loop. All right. Oh, beautiful. Okay, so now I'm actually drawing a nice, relatively smooth line with the motion of the mouse. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Okay, wait. I want to try something. I do something with like the sprite color, maybe. Take a color. Use the keyboard for this, maybe. I'll change the pen color and the sprite color. Does that work? Okay, and I can. Oh, nice. Okay. What about. Let's try something else. Let's take a dollar to a circle. Oh, this might get a little dicey in a second. Wow. Oh, man. What does that do? Okay. Okay, good. Okay. And let's try one more thing. Sure. Yeah, I might need to add a delay for this to work, but that's okay. That's easy to do. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Wait, okay, one more. I don't have to just draw one line. Oh boy. Get my typing right here. Is it minus? I think it's minus. Yep. And. Yep. And. Is that it? Is that all I need to do? Let's try it. Oh, pretty. Excellent. Okay, that was fun. Let's save this. Excellent. That was fun. I hope you enjoyed watching me paint. Oh, that's right. You can't see me, can you? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to include these program listings in the article so you can type these in and see what happens. Why don't we do that?
Hey, if you liked this one, please consider supporting the Digest with a contribution. I hope to continue making more of these, and your support goes a long way to making that possible. Visit ko-fi.com/DDDAAANNN. Happy painting! See you next month. For more, visit m65digest.substack.com.